Ray and Tay today. Yes, Sports Radio's on. Talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on. From the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day. College football, we know who's number one. Understand, on the phones, you know we get it done. So call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more. Talking sports.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and let's talk some sports. We got a lot to touch on. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, we're everywhere on social media. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Send us your emails, your comments, some of your predictions for the NBA playoffs, and stuff like that at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Ray, we'll start off with the Masters. We'll get to the NBA, a lot going on there, some other stuff, and some MLB. And our segment, You're Not Ready, but I got to ask you, are we ready? Are we ready for Jordan Spieth, the Longhorn, who did declare early, wins the Masters in end-to-end in record-tying fashion and record-breaking fashion. Give me some of your thoughts and what you felt. Got a lot to talk about with this. This was fun.
Well, just call him Jordan because he's on the scene. You know, Jordan wasn't even on the scene like this at age 21. I mean, he did have that jumper in 82 when he was, what, 18, 19 years old, but it took him a while till he won it as a pro. He probably didn't win in the pros till he was 29, 30. But, yeah, this guy won start to finish. And I told you on Friday's show, I said, this guy's running away with it. He just doesn't seem to be fazed. He's got that old man game, or at least that old man, you know, poise about him, and he's only 21. The crazy thing is he's number one. Rory McIlroy is number one in the world. He's number two in the world. So it's 21 and 25. The two best golfers, according to the rankings, are under 25 and under. But this guy was a runner-up last year, so you knew he was knocking on the door. You knew he was for real. And he won wire to wire, like you said. There hasn't been a performance like this. He tied Tiger's record of 97 for 18 under, and if he didn't bogey the last hole, he would have broken the record. And
39 years, you know, your boy, Raymond Floyd, right?
And Raymond Floyd was the only one, yeah, even Tiger in his great year where he set the record for the Masters at Augusta National, he didn't lead wire to wire. So
right, but he was more dominating. If you look at the stats, he was more dominating in terms of there was no close second place. Jordan Spieth,
well,
there was close
second. You can only
place.
Do what you can do, right? You can only do what you can do. You tip your hat to Justin Rose and Phil Mickelson for even hanging by four strokes. You know, they were 14 under. Any other year, they would have won. Each of them would have won the Masters. So they have nothing to be ashamed about. Those guys did fine. Rory McIlroy did fine. Even Tiger Woods did fine.
No, we got to talk about that. Tiger did play well. He really did.
It's just a matter of this was a once-in-a-lifetime performance. I mean, 18 under at the Masters and to lead wire-to-wire, and it wasn't even close. You never really thought, you know, Amen's Corner or on the back nine or even on Sunday, you never really – it was must-see TV because it was fun and it was exciting and the young guys are on the scene now, and yet Phil and Tiger are the two old guys. But you never really thought Jordan Spieth was in jeopardy of losing.
No, but it was nice to see Phil sort of get close and Justin. I tell you, Justin Rose, two guys I really like, and I said this, even though I thought Jordan would keep the lead, I do love to watch Dustin Johnson and Justin Rose. Those guys are good. And you always want to see Phil and Tiger in the mix. I think that's a lot of fun for the fans. Rory is interesting because he started to heat up, and that was kind of cool, too. But you wonder, like, Rory, he hasn't showed consistency. And, you know, everywhere, you read all the articles today, everybody's put in their 2 cents. Look, this kid, like Tiger, won amateur titles. I think he won the same amount as Tiger, 3. So you knew he was a young stud in the making. He didn't come out of anywhere. But I don't think everybody needs to, you know, sort of crown him the next Tiger yet and put all this pressure on him. He's 21. He's a good kid. And I want to see the consistency because I think Rory has – he is number one now and won those last two. But we saw a little inconsistencies from Rory. Now he's starting to get consistent. Let's hope Jordan can sort of, you know, show that. But I think that there's a lot of young talent. Don't know if Tiger and Phil will ever – I don't want to say ever, but it might be difficult for them to win another major. It really might.
Especially with these young bucks. I mean, it's difficult enough to win it on your own. You only have four chances a year. But when you've got these young studs out there, even the Bubba Watsons of the world and the Ricky Fowlers of the world, let alone, you know, who we saw Jordan Spieth and Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy. And these guys aren't going anywhere. They're going to be there for 10 years. So
yeah.
Jack Nicklaus, remember, in that great 86 Masters where he won, he was 46. And that's considered old. Justin Spieth and Rory McIlroy together are 46 years old. So Phil's in his early 40s. Tiger's about to turn 40. So their window is closing.
It's hard. And there's so many good young guys. And remember, Jack, when he came in, he had to still battle with Lee Trevino, Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson. So, you know, it's, you know, and so amazing that he won when he did at 46. You know, that in itself is a great feat. I just, you know, we've talked about this. We did it last year when we were on the Urban Daily. You know, is Tiger done? I just want Tiger to be healthy because if he's healthy physically and then the mental seems okay, good things are still potentially there for him. It's hard when you see so many young guys. And then you still got Ernie Els and Bubba Watson. And, you know, there's still a lot of guys, you know, Sergio Garcia, Tiger was tied with him. So he tied at 17, which is, you know, not bad at all. But I don't know.
Tiger had a good tournament. And that's after playing half a round with his hand. What did he say? He popped the knuckle out and he had to pop it back in. And I never heard about popping your knuckle. I heard about popping out your shoulder, but not your knuckle.
No, I thought it was the wrist. Wasn't it the wrist?
I thought it was something in his hand because he hit a tree stump.
I
know. Tiger swings so hard. So he tried to put
was...
a hurt on the tree stump, and the tree was like, I don't care who you are. I'm a tree.
Tiger who?
Exactly. Tiger who? Tiger who? Because I don't care. I'm a tree.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, you wonder – coming up with the U.S. Open, would you put Jordan as a favorite, Rory, you know, or the field? You know, I would like to see one of these guys continue and see if they can go on a run. That would be fun for me. I always root for Tiger, but I like young, fresh blood in the game. So I think that's what the fans and the golf fans will have to look forward to. I got to say, I was definitely into this Masters, and it was entertaining. So, you know, that's good for all folks. So I want to ask you this before we get on, you know, and leave golf and go to the NBA. What do you feel real quick, just a little bit of NFL talk. What do you feel about this conversation that, whether it's Mike Mayock or Jaworski, it seems like people cannot let go, or some media cannot let go of the Jameis off the field, and they're you know, definitely pumping up Mariota. When we saw both these guys play, you got to look at an NFL offense, and then you got to look at a spread offense and look at the history of the transition of other players. Not to say that Mariota isn't special, because we both think he is. If you're Tampa, do you really go for Mariota number one, or are you going to stick with Jameis? What are your thoughts about just, you know, how things are playing out as we near the draft and our draft special coming up before April 30th?
you know, you look at a guy like Johnny Manziel, and
I don't believe in it anymore. I know you still kind of might, but I don't anymore.
Totally different circumstances, but I believe the guy has the talent to play in the NFL and not play like Tim Tebow play. I think he can be legit. He can be a top 15 quarterback, top 20 quarterback in the NFL, even at his size, because he can throw
the
ball.
But he's not disciplined.
So that's what we're going with this. So he's not disciplined on the field, and he's not disciplined off the field. And that starts to become a bad combination. And Jameis Winston
just got out of rehab. Be fair, he just got out of rehab.
I know, and I wish this kid well, and I hope he's still able to do this. But this is where I'm worried about Jameis Winston a little bit. So I hear what these guys are saying. Now, granted, it's not 3 or 4 years ago where – you know, you put all this money into Sam Bradford, or you put all this money into a Jamarcus Russell, and he turns out to be a bust, you set your franchise back. So it's not franchise ending, right? But it's certainly,
right.
It's a body blow. It's a body blow if you pick a quarterback, give him the reins, and he's not right. I mean, think about Geno Smith
and
the Jets,
and Jaguars, right?
Right? You got to give
Ponder.
Him 2 years, right? Christian Ponder, you got to give him a couple years, yeah. But I think with Lovie Smith at the helm, I would go with Jameis Winston. I would still go with him. I think his physical skills, his football skills, his – if you put all the off-the-field stuff aside, it bothers me a little – you know what bothers me more is his turnovers, the amount of interceptions he threw this year. But I think that's trying too much.
He had less talent, and he was trying to be a hero. That
doesn't bother me. I think he was trying too much. But I would still go with Jameis Winston. I still like the big, strong, classic, you know, can you play in an NFL system? Because – off-the-field stuff loses you games, but it doesn't win you games. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a stud off the field and you're, like, in the community and you do everything right and you're the best guy, that doesn't win you any games. So I'd rather the football guy with all the talent that I need to whip into shape. Only problem is that it's in the state of Florida. See, if Tampa Bay were, like, Denver – or Kansas City, where he would be away from his homies and away from his, you know, whatever, and he needs, like, a shock to the system. But Tampa Bay's not that far from Tallahassee. So that's the only part that bothers me a little bit, right? It was like Allen Iverson playing near home and Steph Marbury playing near home. You know what I mean? These cats don't need to be playing near home.
That doesn't bother me because he's from Alabama and he went to Florida State. But I think this guy's about being a business, like Jay-Z said, I'm a businessman, you know what I mean? He wants to be Brady and Manning. I really believe him when he says that. He is a winner. I mean, all we saw this kid do for 2 years was, I mean, win like nobody's business. And it's the ACC, Florida State. They played a tough schedule. I don't know. I was very impressed. I wanted to see if this guy could handle it. And you know, even with all that he went through off the field, it didn't bother him on the field. And I think this Florida State team this year, we all know, the year before they lost a ton of guys to the pros. Offensive line was not the same. Benjamin. They were not the same team, not even the defense. So Jameis had so much more pressure on him, i.e. why he had the interceptions. And when he had to do it in the second half, he got it done. They almost could have won the Oregon game. It wasn't for a couple of that bad fumble from was it Carlos Williams and then the other turnover. And then Williams, you know, and then Jameis had a turnover towards the end.
So you're drafting him? If you're Lovie Smith, you're drafting him number one overall?
I have to because I believe that Lovie is the right person. And I believe that he can – and not just Lovie. It's Gerald McCoy who's a great guy. It's, you know, there's leaders on that team. I think that team is not that far off. I think of Vincent Jackson. Now you got the young Mike Evans. I think the team, you know, they just got to get the O-line and running back solidified. I think they'll be fine. I really do. And guess what? In the quarterback room, he's got Mike Glennon right there. So who I like, you know. I mean, they could still trade him draft day. So I like, you know, hey, we'll get to the NFL. We don't need to, you know, beat it over the head. I just think it's so interesting. You know, everybody comes out with their new rankings and, you know, Jameis is not one anymore. It gets a little too much for me. how about the NBA and they rescinded the technical? Russell plays tonight against Portland. They're, you know, tied with the Pelicans. We'll talk about the East as well with the Pacers and Brooklyn being tied. Obviously, Brooklyn right now and the Pelicans right now have the tiebreakers. But what do you think? Do you think the NBA did the right thing? And, you know, people were saying it wasn't really a great call for the technical. Should Russell be playing? Is that right or fair? What do you think about that?
I don't know. He's had two technicals rescinded. So theoretically, he's two over the limit already. And I don't like the fact that the star gets the star treatment rescinding. But at the same time, I don't see what he did, right? I wasn't on the court, but it didn't seem like he did anything more than just be frustrated with the call, right? I don't think he showed up the ref. Now, we don't know what he said, but I kind of have a problem both ways with initially giving the tech and then rescinding the tech.
Right.
But it just seems wishy-washy. It's like, if you give a tech, give a tech, and you got to pay the consequences. What you know, you're at 15 technicals. I mean, it's not like you're second one and you're thrown out. It's 15. So and by the way, Russell Westbrook missed 17 games, so he's got 15 technicals in 65 games.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd hate to see them not make the playoffs because of this, and that's why the NBA did it.
Well,
you know,
and
Adam Sturm,
that's the right thing at the end of the day, right? Let it be on the court that the Pelicans earn it or the Thunder don't earn it. I mean, don't you think that's best?
I do, but it means that that 15 tech rule is not really 15 techs. Like, if you're a star and if you're in the playoff run, then it's really like 19 tech. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you about this. My man had 54-9-8 in the loss the other night. I mean, again, you know, that.
Yeah, but
Ray,
did you see his stats, though? He
I
had
know.
54 points on 41 shots.
I thought it was 43 shots.
43, sorry, on 43 shots. So my man was I think they had a stat that he was the third least efficient player to score 50 in NBA history.
It's crazy.
I mean,
it really
43
is crazy.
Shots.
But
that
with
means
all
the ball
injuries,
in his hands constantly.
But Ray, with all the injuries, my man's like, yo, he's like, what am I supposed to do? It's just me and waiters that want to shoot.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
I can't totally blame him, you know. So let's talk about this West. It's coming down to the last two games. Both teams play Minnesota, and the Pelicans play the Spurs, and OKC plays Portland. So OKC, Portland tonight, Pelicans, Minnesota. To be honest, we know Pelicans have the tiebreaker, so they basically OKC needs to win two, and the Pelicans need to lose one. I think it's good for the NBA. Pelicans make it. I think it goes back to what you've been saying all year. Maybe OKC, what I've said before, that they might lose Durant. So maybe they get in the lottery. Maybe they get another player to build with that could potentially help them. I think Anthony Davis, Ray's favorite player, I think to see him in the playoffs, Ray, I think it's time. And I think to see him against the Warriors, against such a great team, I'd like to see them go 5 or 6 with the Warriors, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know what? I this is a wounded and kind of beat up Oklahoma City team, so I'd rather see the young, fresh blood coming in from New Orleans. I've always said Oklahoma City is going to make this, so I'll stick with that as my prediction, but I'd rather see, if I had a preference, I'd rather see this new Orleans team and see what they can do in the playoffs. And again, everybody's susceptible in the NBA, and even in the West, and even Golden State with that record of theirs and the number one seed. So, yes, I would rather see this year, because this isn't a real Oklahoma City team, right? Reggie Jackson's gone, Kevin Durant's gone, and Russell Westbrook shooting too much. So,
yes, sir.
I want to see New Orleans.
No, and you're right. Yeah. Remember Memphis that year when they were the 8th, they beat the Spurs. Were just 3 or 4
beat them
years
easily, too.
Yeah. So, So you gotta, once you get in it, you know, you got a shot, and it's a whole new season. So another thing that's fascinating is that people, I think, are kind of looking, they're under the radar. And we've talked about this a little bit. The Clippers, man, they slowly moved up the ladder. Obviously, you know, with Memphis dropping down, they've had some injuries with Conley. Portland's locked in that fourth. But how about the Clippers going up to the third spot? I mean, if it stays with the Spurs at two and the Clippers at three, that'd be a heck of a matchup.
Well,
what would you think about
Memphis?
What
did
you think
about
Memphis?
We keep talking about these teams. You play an 82-game schedule, and these teams are separated by a game and a half. So the difference between 2 and 6 is a game and a half. So, I mean, you can't really take the differences seriously. I mean, I guess you do have to give San Antonio credit for winning 11 in a row and running up to the number 2 spot. But the Clippers could easily be 2 through 6 because you're really, like I said, only talking about one game. You know, if you convert one of the losses into one of the wins, you could jump from 6 to 2. So we both had, if I'm not mistaken, the Clippers in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And I even had them winning, beating Cleveland. So I've always thought that this team, from a GM perspective and from a coaching perspective and from a leadership perspective, so you figure Doc Rivers and Chris Paul, to me, is about as good as it gets for somebody who hasn't won. Obviously, San Antonio has all the experience, and LeBron is LeBron. But short of that, you know, Doc Rivers is as good a coach as there is in the NBA, and Chris Paul is as good a leader as there is, and really it's his time to shine, because I got to believe that, you know, maybe he's got 2 or 3 more years at this level, and then he'll be on the downside of his career. So this is the time for the Clippers.
Yeah,
I think they can make big things happen. Now, they had some, you know, injuries, and Blake was out for a while, and J.J. Redick in the beginning of the year.
He's looking good, though, now, man.
Yeah, I think they might scare some people.
Hey, I want to throw this out at you. We've been talking about this with the MVP, and a couple of guys who had horrible records that won the MVP. One of them, I was looking this up back in the day, our boy Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had won it way back in 76, and his team's record was 40-42. So Russell Westbrook, I don't think he will get the MVP now, but there, you know, has been a case where somebody below 500. Now, Kareem did have 27 points, 16.9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. I mean, you know, and then one more was Bob Pettit, you know, and his team had 33 wins. So, I mean, just, you know, it's happened. So, you know, Russell, it can't be an excuse for, you know, and Bob Pettit had crazy stats too, but so does Russell. You know what I mean? He was 25-16. So, I mean, it's not something that hasn't happened in history. You know, yeah, it was in the, you know, 70s and the 50s, you know, stuff like that. For guys, Bob Pettit was
65. I think you also have to look at who was second place, third place, right? Because you've got, depending on where they fit, right? But you've got a Steph Curry, who's the best record in basketball, number one
exactly.
overall seed.
So, yeah.
And then you've got a James Harden, who up until 2 days ago was the number 2 seed, might be down to the 5th seed. But like we said, it's all funny money, right? They're all within a game or two of being the 2 seed in the West. So those two, and then there's LeBron, who's the number 2 seed in the East. So it's a bad year for Russell Westbrook to have a potential 9th place finish. It might cost him the MVP. Because any other year, you know, this performance is an MVP performance.
Yes, I think the last 2 weeks have been rough with the shot, you know, field goal percentage and all the shot attempts. I think it's been forced upon him, though. But I think you're totally right. I still would have to go Harden. I love what Curry did the other night. You know, obviously that 45 points, we talked about it last show. But I just think Harden not having his second best player and the dominant center rebounder on his team with, you know, such little help scoring. When you look at Houston, I still even wonder with Howard, they have trouble scoring if Harden isn't putting it in. I mean, you can't always rely on Terrence Jones, Monta Ellis, who could be up there for most improved, Jason Terry. You know, they don't have a lot of scoring. So even Ariza, you know, he's more defensive than he is a shooter. He likes to hit his threes. So at the end of the day, do you go Harden or you go Curry?
I go James Harden. I think that he does. It's, I might say something blasphemous here, but I think he has a slightly bigger imprint on the game in that he can assist, he can score, he can play a little D, he's big, he's just a little bit, I think he's just a little bit more impactful on his team, and partially because Steph Curry, no knock against him, his team around him is better, and he's got a backcourt mate who's, you know, great in Klay Thompson. And he's got some frontcourt players in Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes that can fill the lanes. And obviously when Bogut and Lee are healthy, he's got some big man support. So I think his team is better, his supporting cast is better, which means he doesn't necessarily have to put his imprint on the game. But James Harden does. If James Harden doesn't play well, the Rockets lose. If Steph Curry doesn't play well, depending on the opponent, Golden State still wins. So
exactly.
No knock on him. Again, I think he could win it any other year. He could win it. I just think this is James Harden's simply because of Dwight Howard going down and the fact that Houston didn't skip a beat.
But don't you think that Harden, I think for the public consumption, the media has made Steph Curry a darling where Harden is not, the beard, whatever it is. I kind of feel like Curry's going to win it. And I think
really?
It might be
okay.
Important.
Well, look.
Yeah.
The good thing is the sports writers, hopefully, will look at this and it'll strictly be a basketball thing. But you're right. Off the court, he's the pretty boy. He's doing the Allstate commercials.
The Splash Brothers, and you know his father played. I think he's got the. I got. He's got.
He won the 3-point
track.
Contest. Yeah, I'll go at Harden. I'm still taking Harden.
Oh yeah, no, I'll go Harden too. So interesting. D'Angelo Russell. Is declaring for the draft. I don't know when this deadline is.
Sugar Bay.
Coming up soon. Yeah, man. Yeah, D'Angelo's back, too, with a new album. It's pretty good. So, but didn't get the final word. I saw that Tyus Jones was exploring it, and we'll have to see if he goes in. But I want to just talk about the East. We got to touch on this because with the Pacers and Brooklyn – Who needs it more for their fan base, and who do you think will get it? Both tied. Brooklyn has a tiebreaker.
Wow. That's so hard. I think the Nets need it more because this is a team that franchised, that basically built that beautiful facility, the Barclays Center. They went all in. They gave up 3 number ones in 5 years because you can't give them up in back-to-back years in the NBA. And they don't have really anything to show for it. They brought on those contracts of Paul Pierce, who's now gone, Kevin Garnett, who's now gone, right, and Jason Terry, who's now gone. So their fan base doesn't need it. The Pacers were flirting with greatness last year, but they lost DeShawn Stevenson and – then Paul George had that horrific injury playing, you know, World USA basketball. So I think that the Pacer fans are going to be a little more patient and tolerant and be able to come back next year. But I think the Net fans need something to look forward to. You know, they need something to grasp onto.
No, I think you're right. I know they played the Grizzlies on Wednesday, the Pacers, and they had that big win against OKC. Not sure who their other game is against. So it'll be interesting to see just looking at the schedule, who
here,
guys.
We can look that up. The Pacers.
Yeah,
hold on, I'll tell you in a sec. So what do you think? I mean, if you're a fan in Indiana, in the state of Indiana, if the Pacers don't make the playoffs, are you devastated?
No, because I think that they've got some old veterans, and I think they need to basically collect a little bit more talent. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I think for me, I think the Pacers would be better sort of not making the playoffs this year.
So the Pacers have the Wizards. Go see
Wizards
the Wizards.
And then Grizzlies. Yeah. And then Brooklyn has, who do they, let's see.
Yeah, we'll pull up Brooklyn in a sec. Let's
see. And to be honest, I think Brooklyn can potentially do more damage than the Pacers. Because Paul George, okay, Brooklyn plays Miami tonight. And Miami basically is almost mathematically out. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Brooklyn plays, was it Atlanta? Wait a minute.
No, they play the Bulls.
Yes.
To the Bulls tonight.
Yeah. Okay. They host the Bulls, and then I think what is it? Wednesday their last game.
I'm pulling up the schedule now.
Yeah, the Knicks at the Hawks. Poor Knicks fans.
Oh, and the Knicks. What do you think about the Knicks? Now they're tied with
Minnesota.
The Knicks might not get number one.
Well, Minnesota's
they might get
games.
The number of ping pong balls. They might get fewer ping pong balls than Minnesota.
Games, right? The Knicks two playoff games are the Timberwolves are the Pelicans and then OKC. And the Knicks are playing the Hawks and forgot who the last game is. But the Knicks, they better lose, man.
You're crazy.
They better lose. Who's got the tiebreaker between them and Minnesota?
That's a good question. I don't know. Do they have a tiebreaker? I think they flip a coin. I think especially because it's Eastern and Western Conference, I think they may just go flip a coin.
They might go ahead.
Head-to-head, yeah. I think they played twice, right? So
split, yeah. So if it's 2-0 Minnesota, then the Knicks get it.
Yeah.
They always go head-to-head first. So who's Brooklyn's last game against?
So – here we go. Brooklyn, Orlando at Brooklyn on Wednesday night.
Well, at least they're at home.
And Pacers at Memphis. Wow, what a different set of games, right?
That's tough. Washington, Memphis, and Chicago, Orlando. We got to favor Brooklyn there. That's going to be fascinating. And plus Chicago, you know, they might be resting, playing their, you know, because they're already locked in their spot.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. I guess, you know, on Friday we'll preview it. I think the playoffs are tipping off Friday or Saturday, so that's going to be
Saturday
tip off. Yeah, so they get a couple of days off. You know, some guys need to get healthy. You definitely want to see Derrick Rose playing at his best. That's going to be sort of a situation where I don't know if he's got enough time to really get in the groove he needs to. But I think after the first series, he should be okay. The question is, do they take care of the Wizards in that 4-5 matchup?
This Bulls team is so hard for me to read because they look totally different with Pau Gasol than they have over the past 5 years with the Derrick Rose era, you know?
Right.
And Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler now, you know, is he looking beyond Chicago, right? And does that does that impact his play in the playoffs, right? Is it the Jimmy Butler show now that he's going to be on national TV and trying to do his thing? So I'm not sure that this is the year that the Chicago Bulls do it. I think that Derrick Rose, again, it pains me to say it because I really like this kid.
He's got a lot of help now, though. If anything, I would say I'm more concerned about Noah being injured. Noah's not 100%. That's the real issue to me.
He hasn't been 100% all year. He's had those hand problems. I like this Chicago team on paper, but I just think something's missing. Something's missing, and I'm not sure they can win three series and get to the finals. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose in the first round, but I'm predicting them to go down in the second round. We'll give our formal NBA preview on Friday, but, you know, we always talk playoffs. Playoffs?
Yeah, playoffs. I tell you, the Cavs look really good, Ray. They're resting now. They let Boston. People said
that's
that
dangerous. That's dangerous. They rested their four top players, but you know that's always dangerous to do that.
People are saying they let Boston,
the playoffs.
But they're saying that they let Boston beat them twice, so that the Heat couldn't make the playoffs.
That's crazy. LeBron sticking it to Pat Riley.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, the Heat don't deserve it. I mean, they you know.
Look, Hassan Whiteside was a fine, but ultimately, when Chris Bosh goes down and you lose LeBron James, obviously, in the preseason, that's hard to recover from. And they didn't really make big free agent moves.
Well, and Josh
McRoberts
was out the whole season, too.
Yeah.
You know?
So this team really has no business making the playoffs.
And your boy Luol Deng, he's not consistent. I get frustrated with him because you feel like he's a great two-way player, but he disappears so much in games.
Yeah, it's like he never crossed into that superstar or even that star category. He's that very nice player. He's kind of like that Derek McKee. You know, he
has
a lot
of... Or you like Jeff Green better from Memphis?
Maybe Jeff Green because he's a little taller. He's got that 6'9", and he's got a little more... But
yeah.
It's nice comparison, you know. Not a borderline all-star, not somebody you're going to build your team around necessarily, and that's why Chicago
right.
didn't want to pay him the big bucks, but certainly an asset to any team. If he's your third best player, that's a really good number three player. Now, if he's your second best player, you're in a little bit of trouble in terms of competing for a championship, but he's a very, very good player. He's just not that star.
So, speaking of stars, and we'll talk about, like you said, the NBA playoffs in the preview. I want us to bounce to some baseball, but I want us to ride in style, Ray. So let's throw on some beats. Let's come back with our segment and some let's do some baseball and then our segment. You're not ready, and we'll talk about some stars. Ray and Tate today. We're back with MLB Talk.
Okay, here I come, hip-hop's number one son. Well, truth be told, I'm more like a younger brother. Cause I've been around since people thought Dana Dana Slick Rick were brothers.
We're back to talk baseball because it's been very, very good to me. So it's warming up. Baseball is a week into the season. We have two undefeated teams in the same division, Kansas
Amazing.
City. And my Tigers, I picked them to go to the World Series. Everybody says they're too old. I said, one more year.
You know
but
what?
We'll see if they can last. It's only six games in.
Yeah. You don't want to get too high.
Let's talk about some baseball.
Well, I want to just ask you, because we were talking about, and I think this is an era. The last two decades, we've been, as sports fans, extremely spoiled with Peyton Manning, Kobe Bryant, Derek Jeter, Tiger Woods, and Alex Rodriguez. And you can compare some of them to one another. You know, you could throw in a Brady or whatever, but just those guys, they've all come in around the same time. They've been playing around the same time. And last night, the Yankees finally woke up. They had a 1-4 start. They played Boston. They just went crazy. Their bats were, like, on fire. But A-Rod, the one that, you know, was the pariah that nobody wanted, he's come back and – you know, he's actually doing pretty darn good. What do you think about that? I mean, obviously he's going to get...
first base, you see that? After the 19-inning game, they've had him play first. They wanted the rest to share a little bit.
Yeah.
Who isn't a spring chicken himself?
No, definitely not. But A-Rod doesn't look too good at first, but...
Well, not
know.
His fault, right? I mean, the guy's played middle infield for beginning half of his career, and then the second half of his career played third, and then you're going to throw him over to first base.
Yeah, definitely.
He took one for the team. But, you know, putting the steroid issue aside, A-Rod is one of the, if not the, most physically gifted baseball players and maybe athletes, you know, of all time, potentially, and certainly in this generation. So you can't be surprised when A-Rod does well. because you know, the steroids may have given him a little bit of a boost, but he's just naturally talented and gifted, and is just an unbelievable baseball player. So
wait,
yes.
You said talented and gifted? Are you trying to say he's special ed?
Talented, yes. I'm gifted. I never boosted. I never shoplifted. So as special ed would say.
By the way,
you
lost today. Just so you know, to the Pirates and the Royals.
Yeah,
losing.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't want to say it, but didn't want to say it on air. I liked that they were undefeated, but it's a long season. But yeah, but I can't be surprised. So I do think that A-Rod is good for 275, maybe 20 to 25. Again, assuming he can stay healthy, 20 to 20, and he doesn't, you know, fail a drug test. But 275, 20 to 25 homers, maybe 70. To 75 RBI, you know, a very solid MLB offensive player.
Wow, 275 is pretty good. I would think in the 260s, but if he gets 275 and the stats you're saying, you know, I think as Yankee fans, you can't be mad. You know, one thing that's fascinating, wow, and the Royals are up 10-3 now, so they're going to probably win. But the these two teams, you know, when you look at the Royals and the Tigers and just some of these teams in baseball that, you know, have sort of jumped out with these leads, the Reds, the Rockies have been looking good. I guess to me, the question is it timely hitting or clutch hitting, or is it just that these guys have a lot of arms that are looking really good? Because baseball right now is all about pitching. So don't you think it's an arms race in terms of who's going to have the longevity for 162 games?
There's no doubt that baseball looks different now than it did 20 years ago. And we can get into why, but let's just take it as fact that it's become a defensive pitching game more than it has been in the last two decades. So if you want to win, you gotta find a formula that works. So the Kansas City Royals were within a base hit away from winning the World Series, and they didn't have any stars. They basically had a young athletic team and a bullpen and decent starters. So that's one formula. The best team in baseball, who actually isn't doing that well, right, are the Washington Nationals, and they just have they're 2-5. But you got to figure they'll turn that around. They had to go to extra innings to be and not be swept by the Phillies. But they have potentially the five best starters, you know, individually and collectively in Major League Baseball. I guess collectively in Major League Baseball. But you're right though. Anytime you want to have prolonged success in this era, because hitting is so inconsistent and there aren't great hitters relative to the pitchers. I mean, there's a handful of them. It's all about pitching. You got to be able to pitch, and you got to be able to pitch. And because everybody's on a pitch count, you got to be able to pitch deep into games, or you got to have four or five pitchers in your bullpen to get you through nine innings.
This might be the best era, Ray, for bullpen pitching. I mean, so many teams are coming in with these live arms, with guys that are like, boom.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing about baseball is that you have more than one guy that can bring it at like 96, 97, 99. So you've got guys like the Yankees just had this kid last year, for example. They had Robertson and Dellin Betances, you know, bringing the heat. So you've got teams that now have you know, usually you had that one flamethrower, but now you've got a flamethrower lefty that can throw 97, and they got a flamethrower righty who could throw 99. So this is unbelievable. These guys, especially these specialty situation relievers,
who can just come in and bring it. They got every inning. Every inning. It's good to see. What do you think about the Astros? Would you be excited right now if you're in Houston? I mean, they're 3-3, tied with the Mariners. You got to be excited.
Yeah, why not? You know, they've got, you know, Altuve and Springer, and they've got a nice young team. They can improve in their pitching. They've got some farm system that they might bring up midseason. So I like Houston. And you know what? If you're Houston and you look at it, you say to yourself, wait a minute, the Texas Rangers aren't very good, and they won't be good. You know, I mean, they're 3-4, but they're probably not going to be very good. The Angels are the team you figure that has the big payroll and has got the, you know, the superstar offense, but their pitching is suspect. Yeah. Seattle has always been a good pitching team, but now, you know, they brought Robinson Cano in last year and now Nelson Cruz. So, you know, each of those teams has a weakness. And so even though it's a competitive division, if you take out the Rangers, right, but those teams are all flawed. So if you're the Houston Astros, you're saying to yourself, you know what, we can compete with these guys. And maybe we don't win this year, but maybe 2-3 years down the road when the Angels get really, you know, Hamilton and Pujols just get really too old and they're kind of over the hill and all they're left with is Mike Trout. Maybe, you know, the A's don't really have any star power. They just kind of piece it together every year. They have great pitching, but they don't really have consistent hitting. And Seattle, you know, who knows what happens with Seattle. But if you're Houston, you're happy right now. You think you're playing in a decent division.
No, you're totally right. But I'll say this real quick. I'm not too happy, and I think they're getting some bad baseball karma the way the Angels, Moreno, has been dealing with that Hamilton contract. And I know that they're just trying to save money, but it's like, hey, you knew the situation, you signed the guy, and now he's having his issues. I don't know, Ray. They got to be careful with that because PR-wise, it's looking really bad. Speaking of looking bad, though, 2-5. They lose today to the Red Sox, who the Red Sox were tired, flying from New York down to D.C., and I mean, back to Boston for their home opener. They spanked the Nats. I mean, what's going on? Remember I said it the other day. The Nats, they don't want to get on these losing ways. They better fix it, Ray.
You know, I'll use an analogy that I used in, I'd say, January or February. And I said, don't worry about the Cleveland Cavs. They'll be fine because they have LeBron and you don't. And they have Kyrie and you don't.
So that's how you look at the Washington pitching staff?
That pitching staff is just unbelievable. And you can throw – if you throw each of them out there 30 times, and you might get 33, 34 if they don't miss a start, but let's say you put 30 times that lineup out there. And Max Scherzer got 2-0 decisions, but he pitched very well. And Gio Gonzalez is their third or fourth pitcher. You know, and Zimmerman and Strasburg. It just doesn't end. So, what did your boy say, Earl Weaver? Besides the fact that he loved the 3-run homer, he said you're as good as your next day starting pitcher, and their next day starting pitcher is better than yours. So, I'm not worried about the Nationals just yet. I hear what you're saying. It's not a good look to lose, you know, to barely win 1 out of 3 against the Phillies. The Red Sox are a decent team, so losing to the Red Sox is something else. But I'm not that worried 7 games in about the Nationals. I think they'll be all right.
So let's jump to our segment, You're Not Ready. Ray and Tay, you can see all of our segments on our website at rayandtaytoday.com. We've got a bunch of them. Sometimes people like to try to copy ours, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But You're Not Ready is where we talk about a player or a team. We're focusing in on MLB that we think is on the rise, coming up, and you might not be ready for them. Ray, I'm going to go first. I don't know if you're going to go with team or player, but I'm starting off with a guy that should warm your heart because he's a lefty and he throws righty, like Tay, batting lefty and throwing righty. But his name is Corey Dickerson, young kid for the Colorado Rockies, number 6 on the baseball card, left field. Gosh, I mean, you know, young. He's about in May. He'll be 26 in May, the end of May. And what I like about him, only 2 years in the majors, you know, hasn't had that much of a taste for his career, you know, but a couple of home runs the last couple of years, 31 homers. You know, he's gotten over 102 RBIs. But I think, Ray, he's ready to have his breakthrough season. He's starting off batting .417. He's got 2 homers, but the kid's already driven in 9 ribbies. And the Rockies are hot. His on-base percentage is .462. But he's got a nice arm, and I think this kid is going to be a young Rocky star. And I think the Rockies have been quietly building up a team that is going to be ready to compete, maybe not this year, but maybe next year in the NL West and maybe for a wild card. They're not that far away. A couple more arms, maybe one more bat. They keep Troy Tulowitzki. But Corey Dickerson, this kid, Ray, you got to keep your eye out on him. Watch him in fantasy baseball. You're not ready for Corey Dickerson.
Well, he is nice, and he stepped
like
in very nicely last year for Carlos Gonzalez when Cargo
yes.
went down. You know what? You got an outfielder. I'll match you with an outfielder on the up until yesterday undefeated Detroit Tigers. There's a young player, J.D. Martinez. Now, you know I like the lefties, but he's a natural righty. Throws right, bats right. He is on a team with Ian Kinsler and Miguel Cabrera, and he's sandwiched in between Cabrera and Yoenis Cespedes in the lineup. So doesn't get as much love as he should. But this young kid, he's 27. He's nice. You need to keep your eye on him. And, again, quietly, because everybody else on the Tigers is getting more love than this guy, right? But he's leading the American leagues in home runs right now. He's slugging .710. He needs to walk a little bit more.
Yeah.
His on base percentage isn't great, but this young kid will get it together. He plays decent outfield, and I like his upside, especially as that Detroit Tigers team becomes older and older. And like your boy Dickerson, he's a young heir apparent in that outfield. So left fielder J.D. Martinez for the Detroit Tigers. That's my guy. You're not ready for J.D.
I'm not mad at you. I got a second guy, and he's true lefty. Throws lefty, bats lefty.
Ah, then he's already on my team.
I think he sleeps lefty. On the
he
pillow.
Sleeps on the left? He curls up with the pillow on the left?
On the left side of the bed. Center fielder, number 12. And a young guy that for your old Tigers, and you just gave me a Tiger, and we know about Kinsler and the whole bunch of the guys, Cabrera and the pitching staff, but Anthony goes, this kid, Ray, 3 years in the majors, you know, only 6 career home runs, 41 ribbies, you know, has only, you know, hit .241, but right now, this kid is looking like he's going to keep his spot in center field for the team. He's batting .450. I think he's third in the AL in batting.
That's like softball numbers. But you know who's number one? Miguel Cabrera is batting .515.
I know. The whole Tiger lineup is in the top, like, 4 out of 6. So he's got a homer. He's not a big power guy, but he's got 5 ribbies. He's, you know, moving the bases, but his on-base percentage is .450. And this guy's glove is great. I think that he's a California kid. I think that a little infusion of some speed and some guys to get on the base for the big bats, you know, that's what helped the Royals last year. They would hit the homers, but they would also steal some bases. And Ray, this guy has got that potential to really contribute and put your Tigers over the edge in the playoffs. I like Anthony Goes. You're not ready for Ray's Detroit Tigers. And Anthony
okay.
Goes. Okay.
And I'm going to keep it in the American League Central with another team, the only undefeated team in Major League Baseball.
Uh-oh.
And they have a young stud starting pitcher named Yordano Ventura.
Ooh.
And if you don't know, check this kid out from the Dominican Republic. He's 23, right? Can you imagine being 23 years old and being a professional baseball player? That means you were born in 1991 or 92, depending on what time of the year you were born. Are you kidding me? He was born in 91.
Yes.
Well, that's for another show. But for this show, we're going to talk about Yordano Ventura. Is 2-0 already in this young MLB season, and he is set to take his rightful spot in that rotation. They let James Shields go. Yeah, I mean, look.
Oh, and Big Game James,
right?
Is 2-0 too, Ray. Don't forget that.
Yeah, Big Game. It was funny. Well, I don't know why he got that big game. I don't think he pitched in many big games before last year. And even last year didn't really deliver. But that's something else. But this kid Ventura, you know, he was 16-11 or 14, what was he like? I think it was 13-11 last year. So 16-11 last year. Showed signs, right? 3.17 ERA, 1.27 WHIP in the American League. That's always tough. And in the American League Central, you know, Detroit, Chicago, decent hitting teams, Cleveland as well. But keep your eye out for this young stud. You know, to be 23 and to have some stuff. Now, he did leave the game on Sunday, but I think it's only cramps in his calf, so he should be all right. But this kid might make a run for Cy Young in the American League. And if at the very least he'll be a fantasy guy, he won 16 games last year, I'll go out on a limb and say this guy wins 19 or 20 games this year. And the Royals, who I predicted to be fourth,
all right,
that AL Central, if this kid wins his 20, they might be first or second. But, yeah, you're not ready for my young Dominican stud, Yordano Ventura.
Don't forget that he was standing up to, you know, the best hitter in baseball and Mike Trout, or one of the best all-around players. You know, him and Trout were getting ready to go at it. And this goes back
the words exchange at home plate. I don't know what that was all about, but go for yours.
I like that. I mean, you know, listen.
The question is, what language were they speaking? Was your dad speaking? Was he speaking English?
It was,
or was he talking
what language it was? You know what language it was? It was beef.
That's any language.
They were speaking straight beef. Oh man, listen. I tell you, this is it's going to be a great, great sports week. Ray and Tay will be back on Friday, and we will be talking some serious NBA playoffs. Real quick, you got a prediction for the hockey playoffs? They're getting ready to start up and get going? Are we still going I think I had the Blackhawks, and I forgot who you went with, or...
Yeah, I got to update my pick. We'll do that on Friday. All right, let's do that on Friday. I was about to say that the Rangers
Islanders
look really good. Islanders with Tavares look okay. They're making the play. They look good. And he's actually going up against Ovechkin. You know, one of those two is going to win the scoring title. But we'll see. I hope the Islanders can do it. Their last season at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, that dump of a facility.
You ready for the Brooklyn Islanders, Ray?
Nah, I'm not ready, man. That's not going to be right. I will go see a hockey game at the Barclays Center, see the Islanders. It just is not going to feel right. But I'll go. I'll check it out. We'll broadcast live one night next year, Ray and Tay, from the Barclays Center.
I love it. So, listen, great show, a lot of fun. Listen, great NBA games tonight. LaMarcus Aldridge will not be in the lineup for Portland, so we'll see if OKC can get that win with Westbrook, but the Blazers won't have LaMarcus, and we'll see what the Pelicans can do against Minnesota, those young Timberwolves who Knicks fans are rooting for the Pelicans. Let's go Anthony Davis.
On many levels, let's go Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
you know, one or two ping pong balls, you know, could be the difference between Patrick Ewing and Wayman Tisdale. And, you know, rest in peace. We love Wayman Tisdale.
Definitely. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening and checking out our show. We'll be back Friday evening. And like always, it was fun talking sports with friends.
We're out. Have a great sports week.
Congrats again, Jordan Spieth.